for my shoe size. And Uncle Bill reminded us that John 15. Okay. So, we have been talking lately about a terrific and well-chosen key verse for the conference that includes these words, whether we live, therefore, or die, we're the Lord's. Now, if that could sink in to me and to each of us, it's going to make some changes in our lives. We're going to move quickly, don't intend to take too long, and I want to stress now a different emphasis. We're the Lord's for worship, as we had today, we're the Lord's last night for living and for growth and for steering clear of some other items. We're the Lord's because there is so much to do. Now, the one I want to stress right now, I'm going to skip a whole last one that I had in mind. We're the Lord's for service. Just a few minutes ago or a few hours ago, we had the Lord's for worship and witnessing. Now it's the Lord's for service. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 5, just one verse. Ephesians chapter 5. An interesting verse, actually. Okay, Ephesians 5, you probably beat me to it. I was in Galatians. Verse 30. This came out this morning a little bit earlier, and I want to stress a point now, deeply. This is a heavy point, guys and girls, I mean this. And it's actually a very awesome point. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem, who was He? And, in fact, still is. He is what? Who can tell me now? This is a difficult question, doctrinal question. Who is Jesus Christ? Son of God? Creator? What else can we say about Him? He is God. But stretch that phrase a little further. He's God. No, yes. Stretch that phrase a little further. God. God made man. All right? God man. Think of this. God took on flesh and blood. He became man. So that we begin to understand God a little better because we get to know His Son, Jesus Christ. Here's the point. God in the flesh. God became man. Read verse 30 now of chapter 5 of Ephesians. For we are members of His body. Now this is deep. We've said this before. You've heard this before. But notice the phrasing here. We're members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we've become part of Him, that is, we have entered by faith into the family of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are now members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And there's something deep in there. When we say we are the Lord's, we are the Lord's. We're part of His body now. You know, that's what makes the communion time, like we had this morning, so important. Here's a local gathering of believers who are coming to remember the broken body of the Lord. So it's this body of believers coming to remember the body of the Lord. And the Lord's body is never going to be broken again. You're that body. Do you see that? Or at least a portion of it who is presently alive and located right here in Blaisdell Chapel right now. And fortunately and wonderfully, members of the Lord's body exist throughout the world right now. And many have gone before. And as you witness and bring and are used by the Lord to lead others to Him, the body continues to grow. But we are members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones. That's how intimate this is. So that the body is vitally important and it's never going to be broken again. We talked about that. When you're in the Lord's body, you are there. Okay, a little further. Turn over to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 12. A little bit about that body, and you'll see why we're talking about service in a few moments. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll run through this fine picture of the human body and how it compares real quickly. Again, it's something you've heard. The body is one. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verse 12. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of just one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. You don't just walk away from your body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not be for that reason able to cease being a part of that body. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And you can imagine trying to picture that. It wouldn't work. Okay, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If it were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't want you. In my case, I'm stuck with mine. Okay? On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we still treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. Verse 24. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. For if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Or the King James says, members in particular. Each one of you. Young people, here's my stress. It doesn't matter how young you are, and there are some real young ones here. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and on up through your teenage years, and on up into adulthood, you are the body of Christ. You may have a different function than the next person sitting by you. It doesn't matter at this point. We are members of Christ's body. We may not like each part, each one that's here or something. We may have our differences, but we are not going to be a broken body of Jesus Christ. It's not happening again. His body, He died once on that cross. His body was broken once and bruised for our sin. Never again. So His body, though we have our problems and all, though we don't operate as the body should, though we function improperly sometimes, we are one body of Christ. And that's a beautiful truth. So then, you are important. And I don't care what age you are, you're very important. Now here's where we're going to get into one aspect of a practical thing, and I hope I can get this across. Please now, think about your own particular, not gifts, talents. And what I mean by that is, what in particular, young person and friend, and I'm looking at thinking myself now too, what interests you and where do you spend some of your time? What are you maybe a little bit good at? Think about yourselves now. Some of you no doubt are saying, wow, I'm not good at much of anything. Probably you are, and you're not just thinking broadly enough right now. Some of you are thinking, well, music. Someone else is thinking sports. Probably a number of you are thinking of sports, because that takes up a lot of your time and it interests you. Okay. Others are thinking, well, I read quite a bit. I'm a good reader. Or I'm doing good in school. Maybe most of you are saying, I don't do good in school, so that's not it. But besides that, there could be any number of areas. I suspect that few of you, and far more of you, could be good at this. For instance, listening. Developing the ability to listen. Frequently, folks complain about teenagers because one criticism is, oh, they're always talking. You know, they always get something to say. Well, true. But they're learning a lot and have a lot to say in a sense as well. But can you, as a young person, develop an ability to listen to one another? Now, here's where I'm bringing this together for. Whatever particular gifts, now change that, I don't want to get into gifts yet, talents. Just what you happen to be good at or could be better at and are working at. Whatever that is, may not seem at all Christian. What is Christian about football? What is Christian about reading or sports or music? Oh, there's a good quick answer to throw back at me right there. Not one of those things can't be Christian. They had better be. So whatever particular areas of your life that you are at this moment working on, enjoying and being a part of, not that that's the spiritual gifts that we're going to get into in a few moments, no, but whatever it is, be absolutely Christian in it. Now, for instance, some of you are interested in motorcycles, motorbiking, or whatever. Fine, that's an interest, that's a hobby. Whatever it might be, no doubt that particular area, that hobby, brings in certain other close friends who have the same interest. That always happens. You're in music, okay, so you happen to be in the band. That means band friends. Okay, you're in singing, choir. You're in motorcycling or motorcycles, certain other friends who are mechanically minded. Whatever you are doing that takes up some of your time, have you ever thought about really yielding that to the Lord, being Christian in it? Sports, what an opportunity. Well, you don't think of a football game as a Christian event. It certainly can be. Your participation, how you participate, how you react to an anger situation, that's a real opportunity to be a Christian person in every sense of the word that we've been talking about here. Do you see my stress? We're members of Christ's body. That's a total activity. I'm not telling you all to now just work on some spiritual gift you're not even sure you have yet, but I know you have something. God has gifted everyone. We'll look at that in a moment. I'm not even bringing that up yet, because probably where most of us are at are the things that take up our time. If it happens to be just TV and that's it when you get home, wow, you're sure not developing much of anything. The TV's got its purpose. We talked about that yesterday. But aside from that, what is it that you are doing personally that's developing yourselves? And whatever that is, it better be Christian. Do you see what I'm saying? You're members of Christ's body. Show it. Demonstrate it. Be it. All the time. Whatever those things are. Okay, that's the talent idea. And all of you have some. And it makes you unique and different from one another. And that's wonderful. Now, that brings us to a bigger picture now. It maybe helps the picture of the gifts that we've got. Please turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, just a couple verses. Starting with verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Then they bring up one. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. All right, back off now. Verses 4 through the early part of 6. We're talking again about the one body of Christ. You are in that body if you believe in Jesus Christ. Now, these members don't all have the same function, but in Christ we are the Lord's. We who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Young people, for instance, yesterday, a number of the kids who were here have left and gone on. I was really grateful for an opportunity to talk to just one of the people that was here who got really serious in a very brief time, to the point of tears, with some difficulty in his life. And there was a case where the body was working together, a problem here, something hurting, and it was shared with another person in the body of Christ. And we just, through talking and eventually praying about it, were of some help to one another, and it was a great experience. And that is a real part of the fellowship that we should be having as believers. You come here for a good time, for some building up, and as well as seeing friends. Make your friendships in the body of Christ deeper than that. Make it the kind of thing where one member of the body is helping when another's hurting. And young people listening better, young people being concerned for one another and praying for one another will do that. It's a beautiful thing, and it's one of the most wonderful things that we've had happen through Camp Lilolai, time after time. Sure, we establish friendships, we have sports events and all that, but somewhere along the line, something hits to a person, and they become spiritually concerned. And maybe they trust the Lord Jesus, or they grow there because they've been a Christian earlier in life. And they enjoy other Christians, and they speak to Uncle Dave or to some other person or to a fellow camper or to a counselor or here at this conference, to anyone other here. And you get right down to some basic issues in your life where you're hurting and where I'm hurting. This is the kind of building fellowship that we need. Now, in Christ, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. There's a lot that could be said about the gifts. We won't get into it now. We don't have time. And that's a major subject, but the scripture is vitally clear. You could look up 1 Corinthians 12 again. We could get more into Ephesians and see exactly the gifts that are there. But these gifts are what you and I have to develop in our lives, because God has blessed us with a gift we may not even be aware of, so that the body will grow and build and become more perfect and more Christ-like. You notice that verse we said at the beginning? We are Christ's body. We sure better look Christ-like. And that comes through developing these gifts. Now, oftentimes, and this is sad, wherever you happen to be at, maybe those gifts aren't given much of an opportunity to grow. Sometimes the older ones who have these gifts and know what they are exercising them, and we just feel like pushed down and we don't want to say something. The problem probably belongs to both sides, the older ones and the younger ones. We should be able to exercise our gifts more than we do. And that might mean taking a step out a little bit and seeking to show yourself a growing, maturing Christian. Okay, let's go on one more set of verses now. Colossians 3. With these, we're going to close. I'll cap this up enough that I trust it'll make sense and that the Lord will use it in our lives. Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, we were talking about talents a few moments ago. We can talk about spiritual gifts, those gifts of being able to teach one another, teach younger ones, teaching God's word, whatever it might be. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it's the Lord Christ that you're serving. We are the Lord's even for service. And you, young people, can be of service to one another right here or in your own local church and in your own daily lives. Okay, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, for there is no favoritism. Again, whatever you do, do mightily as unto the Lord. Do you see why this is a day-in, day-out process? It's every day. School, home, when you get home, the family, the problems you have in the family, or the next door neighbor you don't get along with, the boyfriend, girlfriend problems, whatever it might be. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord and do it mightily unto the Lord. So that means the developing of your normal talents. That means looking for and using the God-given gifts that you have. Those things that are even, in a sense, a little different area or level than the talents that you have. And for the purpose of building one another up. I can't say it enough, guys and girls, when it is how beautiful it is when a young person is helping another one in a Christian area. In fact, if you look back, Uncle Bill suggested something this morning. When we confront sin in the lives of a fellow person, a fellow young person, don't wait for an adult to do it, supposedly some authority figure. No. This is where you can be a real help. In fact, I recall a camp, one camper getting a quick reputation for a foul mouth. And I started hearing about it from certain campers and just urged them to... I wasn't there when it happened. You say something to them. And it made a change, as I understood it later. You know, what can be better than for a fellow person, a fellow young person, to confront in love and to help spiritually develop someone else? And God will use you in that way. That's the developing of your Christian gifts. Okay, just go over that phrase again. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord, verse 24, it is the Lord Christ that you're serving. We are the Lord's, whether we live or whether we die, and we're the Lord's for growth, for living, for worship, for witness, and we're the Lord's for service. You're not too young to be serving the Lord, because wherever you're at, that's where you should be serving Him. And while you're doing it, maybe take on the identification that you get from realizing you're part of God's family. You are part of the Lord's body. Whatever part it is, don't try to decide if you're a fingernail or something, whatever. That isn't the point at all. You are a vitally important part and a very dependent part upon one another of God's body. It's a beautiful truth, very deep. But if you can absorb it and let the Holy Spirit work in you that growth, so that you're using your talents and using your gifts for the Lord, we've accomplished something. We've seen something happen here at this conference. And that's certainly my prayer for each of us and for myself, because it's a never-ending process. That's a fact. Never-ending. Okay, let's just close this part in prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Mike. Okay. Father, we thank you for the truths that we see in your word. We've just scratched the surface, Father. We know that. There are so many areas. We've covered big subjects. Far more passages in your word have to do with what we've been saying. Help us, Lord, to search them out. May we take your word seriously, and may we allow that word and the power of your Holy Spirit to make us growing Christians so that we, as a part of your body, might become more Christ-like. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that you give us to do this. Help us, Lord, in the traveling that we do later today. Whatever it is, we just thank you for bringing us together, for building up your body right here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.